The chairperson's unavailability, she is at some public hearing in the Northwest. She was not going to be able to be with us this morning.
The whip of the committee unfortunately also had, she called me late last night, she won't be able to be with us this morning. So I have the privilege of calling for nominations for an acting chairperson just for this meeting this morning. Honourable Basson, can I?
Acting chair, I propose the name of Mr. Kozza to be a chairperson of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Basson. Honourable Basson has nominated Honourable Kozza for the session. Can I have a seconder for that nomination? Honourable Nguni?
I second the temporary appointment.
Honourable Nguni has seconded that nomination. Are there any further nominations for acting chairperson for the session? In the absence of which, I will call upon Honourable Kozza to take the chair. Thank you.
Honourable members, good morning. Morning, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and all colleagues. I think we need to start. We are on the second and third quarterly report. Firstly, I will maybe afford the opportunity to the minister to give an overview, and thereafter, maybe if the deputy minister has something to add, we'll afford him an opportunity. Over to you, Honourable Minister.
No, thank you very much, Acting Chair, but also great members of the committee from the different parties. Chair, I would rather just ask the DG that we go straight into the presentation, and with the DM we will respond to any comments or questions from the team, because we're part of the presentation. So let the DG just lead, then we'll respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. DG, can you please take us through?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and DM. The presentation will be done by Ms. Monsu, and the financial part will be done by the CFO, as we usually do. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and then good morning to members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, and all that have worked. Thank you. As highlighted, I will be presenting the combined departments quarter 2 and quarter 3 report. And if you will allow me, Chair, I will try to keep to the key issues, as it is quite a lengthy presentation. And then afterwards, then I'll hand over to the CFO. The presentation outline focuses on our program performance, as highlighted, as well as our financial report for the second and the third quarter expenditure. What we have highlighted in the next slide is slide 5, which is our major highlights, both in quarter 2 and quarter 3, and some of them is in terms of the enrollment of the matriculants with whom registered then for writing the November examination, which was 629,155, and then part-time was 173,276, and nationally that amounted us to 802,431 learners. As well as what transpired in the quarter 2 was also the engagement with regards to our Bella bill, in which then it went through under review in order to focus also on then the amendment to our South African School Act. In quarter 3, it is when we had the results of the matriculants who wrote the exam, and it was 534,484 full-time, as well as 117,223 part-time, and the pass rate then resulted us in achieving 75.1% in that regard. and we also conducted various initiatives in terms of our school monitoring survey, which took place in 2,000 schools in all the provinces. In the next slide is also just a highlight in terms of the spelling bee that was undertaken, as well as 27,806 early childhood development ECD participants who also registered for the online course that was undertaken. In slide 7, in quarter 2, we also went into a process where we developed our rural education policy that focused on improving access and to education for the learners within the rural areas, and also the support that we provided with regard to the second chance in supporting the learners who were writing the November examination, which amounted to 12,489 candidates who wrote those exams, as well as we also had enrollment of 15,127 Funza Lushaka bursaries awarded. It also, in quarter 3, some of the key highlights, we also improved in that regard at an increase in 15,134 Funza Lushaka bursaries that were awarded by the 31st of December. And the next highlight is just to highlight the support that the accounting officer or the DG provided with regards to the spring camps and the marking centers. And then also in terms of the engagement, which then there was a customized brochure with regards then to articles and feedback then provided then to the participants. Slide 10 is just what I highlighted in terms of the spring camps in all the provinces that the DG went through and supported. And then I will then move then to the next slide 17, which is some of the challenges which we have highlighted, and there's still a bit of challenges with regards to the alignment of the Department of Basic Education and some of our PED plans, and also a bit also still on challenges in how we can strengthen and the management of our performance information and as well in our data capacity and system structures. However, the next slide, the progress is that we've tried then to strengthen our engagement with the provinces when it comes to how we streamline our priorities and the commitments in some of the indicators we have developed, and also creating synergy not only in the planning but in the aspect of reporting, as well as putting the effort then ensuring that we have strengthened systems in terms of how then we respond then to what is required in the provision of quality basic education. The next slide, which is slide 20, is just a reflection that we thought would be key to show. In 2016-17, in quarter 3, we were sitting at 46%. Now currently in 2017-18, we are sitting at 82% in terms of what our progress was then for quarter 3. And then the next slide, 21, is just an outline of all the indicators which responds to the pie chart, just in terms of each program, how we have achieved, which I have alluded to. The next slide, it's also slide 23, it was just also in comparison on quarter 2 performance and quarter 3, quarter 2 performance, apologies, for 17-18, which highlights also this current financial year we improved then with 77%, as previously we were only on 15% and partially achieved was 70%. And then I will then move then to program 1 of administration. And basically the slide 27 is just looking at overall support which has been provided within the department on training on appointment of post-filled. The next slide is the financial services that has been improved on strengthening aspect of the school infrastructure, as well as the asset and management and cleaning some of the audit within the quarters, as well as looking at how then there has been strengthened involvement with regards to the implementing agents on the RCD project. And then the next slide is also in general in terms of the business processes, that is slide 29, and the support on media and the compliance of how we plan in terms of the DTME and the National Treasury Framework. I will then also then move then to slide 34. Slide 34 is then we go into our indicators which have been based on the tabled annual performance plan. For the percentage of the service providers within the procurement unit paid within 30 days, in both quarters, quarter 2 and quarter 3, we are green. We have been performing in the essence. We received 99.75% for quarter three. And then in terms of the indicator on percentage of received misconduct cases resolved within 90 days, we didn't really have any new cases except that when there was an ongoing case, which then was convened then on the 4th of October, and the parties then to the litigation could not avail themselves. But the interim measure then for the department is that it has been looking at strengthening that process and understanding of internal understanding then of the disciplinary hearings, that we can some of these issues resolve them within internally in the department. And then 1.1.3 on percentage of grievances received, we are also there were no grievances in quarter two, and the grievance that were received in quarter three has then been dealt with through the line manager. In program two, slide 36, what transpired then in quarter two, we have an MST strategy that then provided support to the provinces, as well as the conditional grant of 85 million, which was transferred to all the provinces. And what was achieved then was that 209 schools were supplied with equipment, tools and machinery to support curriculum, as well as 363 schools supplied as well with consumable and subject elective apparatus. And then there was a total allocation of the MST conditional grant, which is then highlighted as 365 million, and the 51% then was in terms of the allocation with regards to that percentage. And then as I highlighted, we had transferred to the provinces. The next slide is a breakdown of all the provinces in terms of the MST grant. And the provinces that have been highlighted in red, which is Gauteng, KZN and Northwest, were those provinces that had challenges of underspending, and they were then lowest performing. And then what has happened on slide 38 is that counting the reason for the underperformance was as a result of the delays in the placement of the orders within the province. And what has happened is that the department then has tried to engage through the HODs, as well as coming through with a strategy on the expenditure, expediting the expenditure and changing of the implementing agents. And the province has also then been given then this time until the 22nd of March in order to submit all the invoices that would require then processing of the payment. And then KZN, it was also similar challenge with the delays in the procurement, and engagements have been done through the HOD and also face to face, and also looking at how the province can expedite the signing then of the contract. And Northwest, their main issue was basically on the inefficiency in the management of the invoices. However, also the engagements have been there, and also in intervening on the delay so that the invoices can be paid accordingly. And then the next slide, 40, is the reflection in terms of the output achieved when it covers the ICT resources in 330 schools in Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape. Workshops and equipment on the provision and tools is 209 schools. Laboratories and workshop equipment, apparatus, consumables is 766 schools. And learner support is 48,650 learners who have been supported through the MST grant, as well as teacher support. And then the next slide is just a breakdown in terms of the support that has been provided to the technical schools, and the total there is 1,032. And then the next slide is the proposed framework for 2019-20, which highlights then in terms of the percentage allocation that has been proposed previously. The percentage, what you see in the brackets, is a percentage that was there, and then the new one is what has been proposed in order to improve and be more effective in the utilization of the grant. And as you can see, 5% is on the ICT resources, 40% will then focus on the repair and replacement and maintenance of the workshop equipment, as well as support on the laboratory and the workshop apparatus consumables, and as well as teacher training and the administration. The next slide is just mainly highlighting on the partnership that has been involved with the Cuban, and then I'll move then to slide 45, which is also in terms of some of the support that has been provided through the NECT with regards to the project that focused then in terms of academic games, as well as low-cost educational robotic toys that have been utilized in order to improve on that area. And then moving then to also slide 46, where the multi-grade toolkits have been printed for 4,000 schools, as well then in terms of the action plan that has been put in place and on agricultural education projects. And then for ECD on slide 47, we have an ECD plan in place. And also, if you look in detail in terms of slide 48, it's also a draft human development strategy in quarter two that has been put in place, as well as the resource plan, then on the capacity plan for the sector and social sector and the technical implementation forum that has also been part and parcel of the engagement. And then the next slide, 49, is on our LSPID, which is Learners with Severe to Profound Intellectual Disability. In quarter two, there was staff appointment within the department as of two in DBE, as well as project coordinators, as well as 320 care centers, and as well as a draft toolkit on specifications that would guide in terms of the procuring has been developed, as well as quarter three, which then there is in terms of the outreach services, which is then to the 320 care centers that were identified, that has been provided in that regard. And then the next slide is also in terms of the expenditure when it comes to the LSPID grant, and some of the challenges then were that there's been delays in terms of the appointment of the outreach team specialist. If you can look, it's mainly across most of our provinces. And also looking at slide 51, then if we move as well to slide 53, it highlights those challenges, which some of them are focused on, that because the nature of the post are contract posts, there's been delays in terms of filling those posts, and then the department has then advised the province to look at, in order to make them permanent posts for retainment then of the specialist, to look into the equitable share that would then be more of a better option that would help to retain then that skill in that regard, as well as the sequential realization of the grants, which were some of the challenges highlighted identified, and there's been bilaterals and engagements, as well as for specialist and professional in therapy. And then also on the provincial interbranch grant coordination has also been one of the challenges, and the department then has also been involved in guiding the PDs on how to strengthen that intergovernmental coordination process with regards then to the grant to improve. And then the next slide, 54, it's mainly looking in terms of our online face-to-face training with our support in terms of the LSPID and 26 technical occupational as well as different subjects have been finalized. And also if you look at quarter three, we have a draft home education policy that was published on the 17th of November, as well as guidelines on resourcing inclusive education that has been approved. And then the next slide is mainly just looking at the second chance, how we've been giving support on face-to-face, the radio and the television. And then I will then move then to slide 58, which is then our indicators based on our table and approved annual performance plan. 2.1.1, it is the number of offline digital content package distributed to the provinces, and we have achieved our target already, and then all the 12 digital content were delivered to the provinces in quarter two, as well as then 2.1.2, number of schools per province monitored for utilization of ICT resources. We've also done fairly well in that regard for both quarter two and quarter three, and the schools then have been provided, 27 schools have been provided in total, as well as 2.1.3 on the number of offline digital content resource developed annually. We've also then drafted offline, 6 offline digital content in that regard, and also then in terms of the of ensuring the quality assurance of the content that has been then delivered to the schools. And then on 2.2.1, on percentage of public schools with home language workbooks for learners in grade 1 to 6, we have been distributing both in quarter 2 and quarter 3 around 7.4 million, so it's 7,463 and 25, which amounts to 97.35% in quarter 3, as well as a total of 10,511,795 of the grade 1 to 9 mathematics workbook distributed. And in terms of the next slide, 60% of public schools with workbooks for grade R, we've also been delivering, and currently we are sitting at 4,272,850 of the grade R workbooks that have been distributed, and in terms of 2.3.1 on number of underperforming schools monitored on the implementation of the early grade reading. We've also then done a desktop monitoring that has been completed in 25 schools nationally to date. Moving then to the next slide, we've also progressed in terms of number of schools monitored on the implementation of the reading norms, and we've done a desktop monitoring that also has been completed, as well as 2.3.3 on the number of schools monitored on the implementation of the incremental introduction for African language. Quarter two, we had three monitored, and then now in quarter three previously, we then had four schools visited and a desktop conducted in that regard. And then also then in 2.4.1, in terms of mathematics, science and technology lesson plans developed for the intermediate senior and FET phase, we have progressed, and we have been reporting on lesson plans frameworks for the teacher for grade 7 to 9 in mathematics, as well as for the science and technology for 2.4.2, which is then the teacher guide framework on mathematics, FET technology, as well as for grade 7 to 9 that has also been developed and in place. Then moving to the next slide on 2.4.3, it's also the indicators in terms of number of mathematics training session workshops conducted. We have conducted the training workshops in Q3. We did not have any that were planned. However, we have been achieving, as it is the biannual target, as well as number of training centers on CAPS for technical subjects visited during training sessions. We have 7 training sessions that were conducted in quarter two, and then the remaining training sessions will be conducted currently being conducted in quarter four, and will be reported for the quarter four progress. And 2.4.5 on number of schools visited for monitoring CAPS implementation for technical schools. We are currently sitting on 13 schools that have been visited, and to date then for quarter three it's 18 schools in terms of the technical schools visited, as well as the number of learners obtaining subject passes towards the NSC. In quarter two it was 12,489, and then what we had done for quarter three then is in the provision of support then with regards to the NSC learners. And then the next slide is just the pictures that are in terms of the engagement then that were undertaken by the accounting officer in Northern Cape, in Mpumalanga. And then moving then to program 3 on slide 67, it is in terms of what we have done with regards to the implementation of our integrated quality management system, as well as in quarter 3, we have provinces that were visited, which was Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, Northwest and Northern Cape, and the circulars have been issued to the schools, and then consultations then were undertaken for the 4 remaining provinces. And then moving then to slide 69, we have 73 schools that were externally evaluated, and also we conducted then the whole school evaluation monitoring in Mpumalanga and KZN, as well as then in terms of quarter 3 with 17 newly trained school evaluation supervisor certified who undertaken then in terms of the evaluation within the provinces. And then in terms of slide 70, which is our Funza Lushaka, I've already reiterated on this part that we are currently on 89%. We have improved, or we have progressed in comparison to quarter two, which was on 88%. And then also then moving then to slide 72, in terms of the circuit work, we have 600 principals and circuit managers who are trained on monitoring curriculum in Limpopo, and as well as in terms of the Eastern Cape, and then that covered then a total of 460 principals in PE and UMTAT in East London who were then given the training. And then in terms of quarter three, we also had the SGB elections launched in the Eastern Cape and the Free State as part of the advocacy campaign that was undertaken. And then in the next slide is mainly the parental guidelines or booklets that were prepared and distributing support then to the parents, and as well as the South African School Association, as well as the school with the School Safety Forum in July in Pretoria. And then moving then to the next slide in terms of slide 75, it is the work that has been undertaken with regards to our English first additional language, and we had 10,022 teachers trained nationally, and then also with then in collaboration with SAIS. And then also then moving to the next slide in terms of slide 76, in the Free State there were 205 classroom libraries that were set up, as well as then 10 schools assisted in setting up then of the libraries, as well as in the Western Cape where 4 schools library refurbished and provided with the resources. And then moving then to slide 77, it's just a reflection in terms of the training that was undertaken with regards to various subjects. It's 942 on FET, maths and physical science, 969 on technical maths and science, 823 on the specialist training, and 110 subject advisors on curriculum differentiation. We also then in quarter three had training manuals that were developed, as well as for mathematics and science pedagogy manuals that were put in place by the Cuban tutors then who were part of assisting with the advisors in that regard. And then in terms of slide 78, what is just key is to highlight that we have 99 teacher centers received video conferencing facilities and training, as well in terms of how then we have upgraded for the internet then connectivity, as well as to 10 Vodacom teacher centers in that regard, as well as then 82 teacher centers who also then received e-library within the provinces. And then moving then to the indicator slide on slide 79, in terms of 3.1.1% of SGB that meets the minimum criteria in terms of effective sample schools, currently is that the survey has commenced and all provinces then will be completing the survey now in the fourth term, and then the quarter four should also reflect in terms of the output or the results with regards to that survey. And 3.1.2 on the percentage of schools producing the minimum set management document, where we are now that the survey also commenced in that regard, and we should be getting then the outcome of those survey now in the fourth term reporting that will be reporting soon. And then I've highlighted Funza Lushaka, I will pass through with that one. And then 3.3.1 on the number of teachers participating in the EFAL diagnostic test as slide 81. We have conducted computer-based and paper-based testing, which will be then completed now in quarter four. And then as a reason then for the deviation is that the conducting of these tests is an annual target, and it can only then be evaluated then through the end of the financial year. And then for the number of teachers participating in the physical science diagnostic test, currently we add 232 paper-based tests conducted in Gauteng and in Eastern Cape, and also then further paper-based, computer-based testing to be conducted currently now in the fourth term. And then there is then also the deviation that regard is that as the tests are currently being conducted, the progress and the outcome of that will be now in the fourth quarter in the financial year. And then in terms of 3.3.3 on number of teachers participating in the accounting diagnostic test, currently 69 paper-based tests were conducted in Gauteng, only, and further paper-based testing then will be conducted currently in the fourth quarter. And the conducting then of the test is an annual target, and as highlighted was similar to the other subjects, we'll get more of the progress in detail of the overall now in quarter four. And then for mathematics, it's four, for quarter three is 4,776 paper-based tests conducted within the seven provinces. And then for 3.4.1 on the number of schools of PD monitored in the implementation of IQMS, we have been progressive against what we had planned for both quarter two and quarter three. And 3.4.2 on the PEDs monitored on the implementation of PMDS, also we have achieved and our targets in what we had planned in that regard. And then on the PEDs, then in terms of the post-provisioning, then the report is also then will be then reported through then for quarter four. Going then to program four, in terms of planning and information assessment, the next slide of 85 is just highlighting in terms of the SACMEX report that was launched, and also in terms of the results of 2016 Pearl study. which was released on the 5th of December, and the systemic then evaluation, which was signed, and then in November 2017 with the teacher unions. And then the next slide is just highlighting in terms of the modernization of the SASEM project, which then is in collaboration through the NECT, and looking at that in the future, then it will be assisting then with regards to integration as well within our LUIDs. And then we also have a published report on our school realities. And then moving then to slide 91, it's highlighting then in terms of what I already reiterated in terms of our SASEM, in terms of financial assistance on the modules was approved, as well as receiving then approval in terms of our sector audit outcomes, which also we had through it publication done in that regard, as well as action plans that were implemented to address the finding raised within the KZN Education Department with regards to auditing and the monitoring and support. And then in terms of the next slide is the training that was provided then with regards to the quality learning and teacher campaign, and also focusing that we had 91 deputy principals and 91 teachers who were then required then in terms of the initiative and being involved with regards to quality learning and teacher campaign, as well as then the three stream models with regards to technical, vocational and academic. And then moving then to the next slide, 93, I've highlighted already on the Funza Lushaka and also the ICD schools and the merger, as well as then support that has been provided to five provinces in quarter three on collaboration and partnership with regards to the monitoring visits that were conducted. And then in terms of the slide 95 with regards to district level planning and implementation support, currently at quarter three we had CEM approve and amend the district policy, and the amendments then would focus on the district size delegation and the minimum staffing norms for education districts, as well as we had then through the government gazette number 41445 then on the 16th of February 2018, as well as districts then have started the utilizing of the district standard routine and operational guidelines, as well as then the piloting in terms of the self-assessment for the district in the 17 of the 18 pilots undertaken, as well as a national report on the 66 then district report cards on the school principal rating survey support also that has been finalized then for processing then through our HEPCOM structures. The next slide is just the pictures that are reflecting with regards to the district level and planning, the support that has been provided, and the orientation then with regards to the district managers induction. And then in terms of the NEDU, we also had, we find the school that work report to and send it through to printing, and NEDU then collected the data from 158 schools in the 24 district for all the provinces incorporating 624 participants to prepare. And then the next then indicators, which is slide 98, it highlights then in terms of a bank of language and mathematic test items for grade 3, 6 and 9 developed. And currently in quarter 3 we are having 450 diagnostic assessment items developed for both subjects. 1,400 is for systemic assessment items developed, then that totaling then to 1,850. And the overachievement then was as a result of the preparation of the systemic evaluation and summative assessment that has been undertaken and approved. And then for 4.2.1 also it's on our NSC, and then the report then will be provided now then for quarter four. And then in terms of number of question papers set annually for 4.2.2, a total of 388 question papers were required for November 2017. And then also for supplementary, which is 128, and in 2017 then Umalusi and external moderators then approved the 375 of the 388 required, and the question papers then some of them were also not used in the November 2016 and were banned, and therefore the final uploads of the question papers then would then be reported now after March then in terms of the quarter four progress. And then coming then through to 4.3.1, which is slide 100, on the number of new schools built and completed through ICD. Currently, we are based on the report for quarter three, we were sitting at 187, and of the 370 allocated schools. And also some of the reasons for the deviation were that the tenders for the 7 cluster for modular construction affecting the 47 isolated schools have then been advertised, and then also looking in terms of example, some of the Free State Department of Education contractors had capacity and cash flow challenges and IDT delays. However, the corrective processes or corrective measures that have been put in place is that there's been modular construction tenders for the 47 isolated that have been closed, and tenders for the 10 conventional structures closed this quarter, and tenders then for the 27 of the 32 medium to large schools have also closed in quarter three. And then also that the meetings have been held with the CDC on the schools to accelerate the procurement, as well as for the implementation, there's been implementing agents, they've been required to provide acceleration plans that would focus on the fast tracking with regards to our infrastructure in terms of the RCD schools. And then when we go to 4.3.2 on slide 101, is the number of schools provided with sanitation facilities through RCD. In quarter four, we had 450 completed of 585, and currently at quarter three, it's 453 completed schools of the 585 allocated schools, and then 147 projects are in construction. Due to the scope change, a total of 992 projects are being implemented. So if you add that 453 plus 392 plus 147 would then bring you to the number then of 992. And then for the number of schools provided with water through RCD, in quarter two we had 636 completed of 995 allocated schools, and currently in quarter three we are sitting at also 636 completed of 959 allocated schools since inception, and 367 projects are in construction. And then due to the scope change, it then has then increased to 1,242. And then currently then the reason for the deviation is that the tenders for the appointment of the 232 water and sanitation projects in Limpopo have closed, and corrective action is that then the tenders for the Limpopo projects have been appointed at the end of quarter three, and as well as for the Eastern project, then Eastern Cape, the project will be then appointed now in quarter four. And then in 4.3.4 on the number of schools provided with electricity through RCD, in quarter two we're sitting at 370. Now in quarter three we are sitting in 372 completed out of 535 schools, and the remainder then of the projects were then removed from the list due to various reasons, such as then in terms of some of the projects were then carried out by the provinces, and the reason for the deviation as well is that the closeout and reconciliation of the electricity program is currently underway, and of the allocated schools, the electricity program at the beginning of RCD, then as I highlighted, 372 have been completed, and then the provinces have also assisted in electrifying the schools in that regard. And then for 4.4.1 on percentage of public schools using standardized school administration system, we have been progressive in that regard in both of the quarters, and in quarter three we were sitting at 98.4%, which is then 21,633, which is then the division then of 21,966. And then on the percentage of learners from public schools that are successfully uploaded on the LURIS, we are amber in that regard. We have been we're amber on quarter two and quarter three, and the reason for the deviation then is that the 3.1% deviation between the target and the performance is due then to the learners in the provincial warehouses who were rejected by the LURIS system, and then the rejection is then caused through the validation rules that have been set up, and the corrective action would then be to finalize the data for National Treasury and DBE to perform further tests in the provinces so that then they can fix those areas where the learners have been rejected, and that will be in essence example of such as ID numbers, however we are still allowing the learners to go through to schools, and then monitoring then is done through when going to the various schools there to monitor in terms of the learners' names and surnames that have been captured, as each learner has been required to be provided with accessibility than to education. And then in terms of the number of officials from district that achieve below the national benchmark in NSC, currently that the support to the district is offered on an ongoing basis within the quarter, and the deviation is that the districts are visited on a regular basis and district officials are then mentored and supported, and there will be continued support and mentoring in the, with the district officials identified. For 4.5.2, an improvement plan for district offices to improve on areas that were rated unsatisfactory. For quarter three, a national report and of 66 district report cards have been put in place, and then the final report then will serve then in the upcoming quarter four, as well as 4.5.3 and percentage of district managers assessed against the developed criteria. Six of the nine provinces have been assessed, and district directors are using then the competency assessment for SMS with that regards. And then the reason for the deviation is that due to the no new permanent appointments for Free State, Gauteng and Limpopo were not conducted for assessments, and then the corrective action then that has been put in place is that we'll continue to monitor then on a quarterly basis in ensuring that the final reports of all provinces will be provided in the fourth quarter. In program 5, it's slide 106, it highlights the support or the engagement that have been provided through monitoring the National School Safety Framework, as well as through our Inkosi Albert Luthuli with regards to the runs that we've done, which were 270, as well as looking at the 12 schools that were also monitored for the NSFF implementation of the hotspot schools. And then also the next slide is just in terms of the various partnerships in education that were conducted on the Youth Citizenship Action Program, and the SASCI on slide 108, and the Spelling Bee that was undertaken in quarter 2 championship, as well as in quarter 3 the ABC Musipe Schools Choral Estate Fort, as that was also undertaken. And then moving then to slide 111, it's key in highlighting that we had 4.4 million learners dewormed in quarter 2, and in quarter 3 we also had 4.45 million learners dewormed in that area, and also we have reached 1,000 parents through the dialogue with regards to the intercare and safety and protection activity, as well as 430 learners through HIV and AIDS and safety. And then moving then to the National School Nutrition Program on slide 112, we have reached a total of 20,178 quintile 1 to 3 schools that have benefited on average a total of 8,752 and 76 learners in the targeted schools, as well as training on the food and safety that was conducted in Mpumalanga and in Gauteng. And in quarter 3, also we continued with the visits as well in 5 provinces, which was also again Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, Northwest and the Western Cape. And then moving then to in terms of slide 113, it's just a highlighting in terms of the childcare that was provided in Colesberg, as well as 49 officials trained. And then moving then to slide 114, 5.1.1, in terms of number of schools monitored for provision of nutritious meals. In quarter 2, we had a total then of 109 schools monitored to date, and now in quarter 4, it's 24 of the schools that were provided, and we have achieved our target. However, it is amber there because it is a quarterly target that has been set against 40. However, if you calculate it accumulatively, we have achieved as at the end of quarter 3. And then in terms of 5.2.1, on the number of adjudicators, data capturers and farm schools conducted trained for the SASCI program, the training has commenced, and then we'll be able then to provide then progress now in quarter 4. And number of learners, teachers and officials on SGB participating in social cohesion, gender equity, we also are progressive with our targets both in quarter 2 and in quarter 3, and currently we have a total of 5,754 participants that have reached through the social cohesion program. And for 5.3.1, on the number of hotspot schools monitored towards implementation of the National School Safety Framework, we have progressed, and we are green, and we are sitting on 12 in that regard. I will then hand over then the financial report then to the CFO.
Hey, maybe before the CFO comes in, yes, I can realize the concern that Deputy Minister and Minister, I was just writing down it.
Yes, I won't call it an exodus. There are lots of activities today, so they ask for an apology. You've seen them passing here. Yeah. It's not an exodus. Thank you so much.
No, we want to say that we might have over. We came in bigger numbers than necessary. So we're saying next time we'll have to cut down our own delegation ourselves. We're concerned about the size of our delegation.
No, you can come.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will start on slide 116. Slide 116 reflects, this is the third quarter financial report. It reflects the total budget of the department, which is 23.4 billion, and 79% of the allocation is allocated to conditional grants, transfers to public entities and other transfers, and this amounts to 18.5 billion. And the remainder of the budget, which is 4.9 billion, is allocated to the items that are indicated on the slide. And then on the next slide, it reflects the actual expenditure that was incurred by at the end of the third quarter, which amounts to 18.3 billion. And the details of the breakdown is indicated on the slide. Now this slide reflects the allocation per program as well as the expenditure. Now if we were to take a straight line method, we would have been at 75% of spending, but we are slightly higher at 78.3%. And the reason we are higher on spending is because normally, for instance, for the teachers branch, we transfer a huge amount at the beginning of the financial year, which is transferred for the Funza Lushaka bazaaries. And then for the curriculum branch, it's also higher because this time around we got in a lot of invoices for workbooks beforehand. Previously we used to pay workbooks closer to the end of the financial year, but this time we paid earlier. Hence the high expenditure under curriculum. And then there are other details that are given on the following slides, but I will skip the explanations because we are going to explain them later. And then this slide shows the economic classification, which is compensation of employees. We are at slightly above 75%, which is 76.80. Goods and services, it's slightly lower at 72.14. And the reason that we are showing a slight underspending on goods and services, we have a balance on the workbooks, which is for delivery of volume 2 of workbooks, and for shortages, if there are any, with regard to workbooks. And the other item is for national assessments as well as second chance. With regard to the national assessments, the packaging of the 2017 batch of diagnostic assessments per province, per district and per school have been finalized, and distributions to provinces took place in December, and then payment thereof will take place in the fourth quarter. And then for the second chance program, the department is awaiting finalization of printing of resources for the second chance class of 2018. That is also was underway at that time, and teachers will be paid for lessons that will be provided for the March 2018 grade 12 supplementary exams. And then with regard to transfers and subsidies, the allocation on this item is for conditional grants to provinces, transfers to public entities, that is UMA, Lucy Faith and NSFAS, as well as NECT and foreign transfers. And the transfers to public entities, NECT and conditional grants have been made as scheduled, except for the learners with severe to profound intellectual disabilities to provinces that were withheld for 30 days due to low spending. Invoices for foreign transfers have been received, but they were received in the fourth quarter and they've already been paid. And then membership fees for UNESCO has also been processed, but it was processed in February, so it would be in the fourth quarter. And then payments for capital assets, with regard to infrastructure, or rather the bulk of the allocation on this item is in respect of the ACD project. And then for this one, we are spending as and when the invoices come from the implementing agents, we process them. And there were various tenders that were advertised through the department as well, and where tenders have been, and some of them have been finalized and awarded to the various contractors, and invoices for the projects are expected before the end of March, of March 2018. And then this is just the details of the economic classification, compensation of employees, examiners and moderators. We are also reflecting a low spending there, below 75% at 68.58, but we have received claims and they are in the process of being they are being processed. And then other transfers, we are showing a higher percentage of 90%, as I indicated, for transfers. It depends on the time of the transfer. So we had a huge one which was NSFAS, and we transferred it at the beginning of the financial year. And then most of the transfers were already made before the end of the third quarter. School infrastructure is the one that was showing low spending at 28.95 at the end of the third quarter, but to date we are around 54%. It has almost doubled at the moment. And then the other two items that were low at the end of the third quarter are departmental operations and projects. But just to remind members that this depends on the time the project is planned to take place. It may show a low expenditure, but it's not necessarily that we are not spending on the item. Now on this slide we are reflecting earmarked funds as well as conditional grants. Now with regard to the earmarked funds, we have there MST, NSNP, Learners with Severe to Profound Intellectual Disabilities. That part under earmarked fund is the operational portion that is kept in the department for monitoring of this conditional grant. Now that is where we were showing underspending on those items. But this does not mean it's the conditional grant. The conditional grant is shown below and the expenditure is reflected there. And then with workbooks, we are just indicating the progress there, which is at 99.96. Of volume 2 have been delivered to public schools, and the expenditure will improve in the fourth quarter. But here it's not really an improvement, it's just finalization of the payment. And then matric second chance, I've already talked to that. The next one is the details of the transfers. I've already explained this, but here is just the details. We are reflecting 0% at the end of the third quarter for UNESCO, IDEA, Childline, and Guidance Counseling. But these payments are usually processed in the fourth quarter of the financial year, and we have already paid them at the moment. And then the next part is the second quarter report. I don't know if I should go through this, Chair, but in terms of the second quarter, we were in terms of per program, we were at 53.96%, which was higher than 50% at the time. And the reasons are also provided in the slides that follow. And maybe if we can go to slide 143, we are showing the economic classification and the various items there. We had examiners and moderators were very low at the second quarter, but as we know, usually we get the expenditure there increased from the third quarter and the fourth quarter because of the end of year examinations. So hence the expenditure was very low. And school infrastructure at the time was also quite low at 19.11%, but as I indicated, at the moment we are at 54%. And then earmarked funds as well, they were at 13.97%, but with earmarked funds, it was because of the, mainly it was because of the workbooks. At the time, we had started printing
workbook 1 and delivery thereof was already underway. The payment, we received the invoices at the end of the second quarter and they could only be paid on the 4th of October, and hence we were showing a low expenditure under earmarked funds. And then with the conditional grants, it's the same with the conditional grants as I explained. Expenditure for especially the part that is kept in the department, there has been very low spending. At the second quarter we were at 41%, 40 and 10% for the learners with severe to profound intellectual disabilities. But with regard to the conditional grants themselves, transfers took place as they were scheduled, hence we were showing a high percentage there. And then with the transfers, we were showing a lot of underspending there at 0%. And as I indicated, these are the because of the timing or the time we receive the invoices for payment of those transfers. Now just to reflect on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure on Karigude, the opening balance of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was at 12.4 million, and what was recovered at the end of the third quarter was 5.5 million with a closing balance of 6.9, and there was a possible amount that was estimated at the time, which was 2.130, and with a projected balance of 4.7 million. But as we know, we have already deducted an additional, I think, 1.2 million. So the we have reduced the amount remaining on this item. And there has been engagement with law enforcement agencies on this matter, as it affects volunteers in the Karigude program. And then with the irregular expenditure, progress on the irregular expenditure, there's a portion of the irregular expenditure that was investigated by the investigating committee in the department, and 602.5 million of this was submitted to National Treasury requesting a condonation, and we are still awaiting a response on this one. And additional cases amounting to 823 million have been discussed by the committee, and recommendations have been made, and the submission is on its way to the DG for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you
for the presentation. Firstly, I want to start before giving a colleague to come up with comments or questions by commending the department for the improvement that we have shown in the report given to us. Compared to the 46% achievement in 2016-17, today we are at 82%, so we really would want to applaud you for such performance. And what I'm going to do, Honorable Basson always have lots of questions. Today I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Yeah. As I've indicated, Honorable Minister, that we've got lots of activities today because of holiday tomorrow. Many committees are sitting today, hence you could see that we've got lots of apologies. Honorable Basson.
Chairperson, thank you. I don't know. Maybe that's why we are so few. There are less questions to be asked because everything is clear today. And as you have said, that even the report is pleasing. It was so pleasing to see all the greens, DD Minister. It was so pleased to see the greens at least are dominating in our report. There are less reds or very few reds. Maybe that's why we will have few questions. I hope we were all here, because I know coming to BRRR will raise things that way, positively raised here, will raise them there as negative things, because we didn't get the chance to get the report from the horse's mouth. Starting from the beginning, I would like the program that is being the early grade reading and coaching program that is being rolled out in Northwest, and I understand now it's in Mpumalanga. What is your time frame that you have set yourself to reach all the other provinces? Because it is a good program, but the pace seems, for me, is very slow. And on program two, on conditional grants, I noticed that conditional grants we have so underspent that we are still on 51% by the 31st December. That was the end of the third quarter. Ne? So we were still. How sure are we that we will be able to spend the money? Because I'm concerned. These conditional grants sometimes are from the donors, and to have such money not being unused is unfair to, for our people on the ground, because more especially the MSP, which was 51%. The MSP, I noticed that is the MSP that was 51. And are the provinces going to be able to spend this 49% within a space of one quarter, not being able to spend 75% in three quarters? I have a problem, and especially for KZN and the Gauteng, KZN is so in need of this money. Why do they not use this money if it is given them? I see they are lying on 40%, 40.41%. What will happen to this money if time catches and that the money is being is being not used? And I have the report was so nice just to listen than to have concerns, except that I have a question on lurid system. It has been reported that the system has rejected some of the learners. Some is because of the IDs and what, of which we all know. But my concern is the point that these learners are in the system. We have allowed them to be admitted for meantime to carry on. Using our resources, I say using our resources because most of these learners are from the neighboring countries and are illegal here. I'm speaking about those that are illegal, those that have been found in the drugs. And they are the one who are the first to complain that the service delivery is not good. Let me say, they are the one who are our communities are sometimes tend to do against us because they don't know the regulations or rules and regulations. They take it that the learners are not admitted at school. How do we control the intake of these learners, Minister, that are in our country illegally and underage, supposed to be at school? How do we control that while they are here?
There's a slide that I, the low spending on learners with severe profound challenges. It is a sad story. And the whole two quarters, less has been set on inclusive education, less has over special education. What I picked up is that you have provinces have spent less, or you have spent less, or the funds are not transferred, are being held back because of some challenges like the not appointing them. The specialists. Why are the provinces not appointing the specialists that are so needed in our schools? We need them so, in so much that, but they are social workers, they are psychologists that are unemployed outside there. Why don't we use this money so that these learners with learning challenges can be treated very well? I have a question here, Chairperson. Mr. Mguni left it with us. I don't know. Yesterday, while I was listening to Sidibeni, the summary of everything, I was afraid, because I noticed that we are the next. From Department of Health, they are coming to us, is what Section 27 mentioned. So Mr. Mguni, yeah, is asking a question on the incident that has happened in Eastern Cape. What, and the mandate that got for the 3 months mandate that we got from the president, that we must try to deal with this challenge. What plans do we have? Or I don't know, but it's Ms. question that is asked. What plans do you have to meet this deadline of 3 months and so on? There's a slide that I'm sure it's slide 28 that says you got a clean audit from SAPS. I wanted to know, is it a common thing that SAPS come and do the auditing on assets or what, if the Department of Education also, because I, for the 4 years being here, I have never had that SAPS. DG, thank you for the evidence pictures. I could see my people of Northern Cape through your pictures. Thank you. So this was really an evidence that you were there, because I know them. Then do my consent is just, why is it so few set on inclusive education or special education? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Basson. I'm also having one or two issues to raise with the department. DG, the department has improved in all the areas that we've realized, but really with regard to infrastructure, we are still seeing challenges. We really need improvements. My question is to what are strategies in place to ensure that with regard to infrastructure, we try to improve for the best. I'm raising this, we have got an issue on slide 101 on the number of schools provided with sanitation. I think maybe it would be assisting to us if you, when you report, you say on percentage basis, because when you give us just numbers, not telling us 100 out of how much, we are not able to know as to what really is your backlog. So maybe, but if you say on percentage basis, we are able to know as to what really the backlog is. It will assist us as a committee. The other issue is with regard the outstanding work in the third quarter. How will you ensure that by the end of the fourth quarter we are able to realize the 100%? Are there still resources, I'm referring to human and financial resources, to ensure that we are able to finalize the outstanding work? Thank you very much. I will then give the opportunity to maybe I'll start by the minister and the deputy minister to respond, then we'll give DG and the team. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Chair. We will share the answers with the DG as you allowed us, Chair. So some of the matters that you are raising are matters that we have discussed also internally and had to agree as to how we address them. So I'll only confine myself, and DG, DM will add on where we also were concerned as the ministry and what we are proposing to do as the department. Even this morning we also reflected on some of the things that we're going to present to yourselves, Chair. First, with the DM, we did express complete disappointment around the expenditure on learners with profound disabilities. It's a very critical area. We've been underperforming throughout the years because we never had resources to deal with the problem. And for the first time, we were provided with the resources to begin to confront the long problem of learners with profound disabilities. And even for us, it's very disappointing that we're not moving with speed. But from the official's perspective also, just to explain, they were explaining to us the difficulties now of, because we're only starting now to deal with it. It's also around skills when you deal with learners with profound disabilities, not just your easy disabilities. You have very few people trained to deal with those disabilities. And simply because we had not been working properly in that area, so we've not created the adequate capacity in the country, so there's not adequate capacity. But if you have to deal with learners, for instance, who are autistic, it's a very specialized area, and there are very few skills that are there, and people who are there are in big demand, so you will not be able to pick up a young person from university or a social worker and think they can deal with that area. It's a very specialized area. But what we've agreed, because it's not an excuse, it's an area that we have to move into, Chair, with very decisively. We've proposed to the department that we must have a troubleshooting team to deal decisively with the problems. Because the fact that we don't have adequate people, or the people that are there are in high demand, should not be used, because it's a very, very important area, and we need to move decisively on that. Even ourselves as a sector, because we knew that we have to deal with this area, we knew that we're not dealing with it adequately. And when we applied for money, I think we should have prepared in good time to find the people and put things in place. So it's not a very good excuse for us when that we applied for money, we got the money, then we only discover that we don't have the people with the appropriate skills. But we've agreed with them to say, we'll have to sit down with the department to say, what do we do? It's a very important area. The same also around the area of medicine science. But if you can see from the report, the national department is a bank, which is a problem. You know, when you keep money for people, what they spend it on is up to them, and how they spend it. And it's been quite difficult to hold provinces accountable for the money that we keep on their behalf. Yesterday I was receiving a report on the MES framework so that we can say to provinces, which is what we've always been having as a problem of alignment between the provincial and national departments, to say, Treasury has given us so much money, these are the only areas we can do, and maybe support provinces on how to expend the money. So this whole question of just keeping money, giving it to provinces, hoping that they'll do what is right, and withholding it, because that's the only weapon we have, withholding if they don't do what they're supposed to do, has been driven to under expenses. But sometimes when they claim, say, no, we can't give you this money, it's not meant for this. So we're also trying to improve in that area, Chair. others I'm running away, Chair. For instance, the question of learners from neighboring countries, such a difficult problem. Even MPs here come here and say to me, I mean, there's a comrade from Pumalanga, they're very angry with us as a department to say, by demanding that we have on the lurid children with South African IDs, it's killing education in our area. One MP was saying, there are 700 kids who are at school now because we are insisting they are 200, so which means 500 is non-South African, so which means we are providing huge resources for almost three times to, yeah. And it does then affect the whole sector, so it's a big problem. We have Human Rights Commission on our backs to say if they're here, they have to be provided with education. We have, on the other hand, Treasury says, give us the proof. Don't say we have 700 kids. There's no evidence that you have 700 kids. Unless you want us to go and count, because in our we will not have numbers. So it's a big problem where we have to really say concretely, here are the IDs, here are the 700 kids, because they don't have the correct papers. And Treasury is going to fund us on the basis of real people with real numbers or real bodies. So it's I think I leave it to the lawyer and the department. It's a very difficult issue that I leave to DM to say, but it is an ongoing problem, especially for our bordering provinces. And not only bordering. Even your urban provinces can't account for the kids because we can't register them because they don't have South African IDs. So even schools can play games with us. They can say we have 500 kids. When you say give us the proof, we say they're all foreign students. And how do we? So we can't go and do head counts in 7,000 schools and say, yes, indeed, you have 700 kids. Because we had found in some instances that schools were inflating numbers. They will give us from their returns to say, we have 400 kids, whereas they have 200. So you give them school nutrition money for 400 kids, whereas they have 200 kids, books for 400, whereas they have 200 kids. It also has a major administrative issue, even on our side, that we're not able to protect ourselves. But as I say, it's a sensitive issue for lawyers. You're quite right. There's now litigation on anything. So we could even find and there'll be constitutional right of violations if we don't do other things. The Eastern Cape one, Chair, is also very, and again, it's a very unfortunate incident that took place under our watch. We will provide you with reports. It's a freak accident which should not have happened. And it's a very sad situation. It's a freak accident. So I don't want to get into it because, as I say, with this litigious environment, I don't want to be cited as having said, so we'll provide the report to the team when it wants that. We've been working with the family, we've been getting reports with the deputy minister on what happened. We've sent a forensic team. We've been working with the family in terms of counseling and support that we are giving. The province is on board, is running with the issue, and as I say, at the right moment we will be able to provide with an accident. But as I say, it's a very sad accident that happened, which should not have happened. The school has good infrastructure. It just had this pit latrine, which unfortunately, as I say, look at the size, it's not for children. But it's, and there were other toilets which could have been used, which are there at the school. So it's a, as I say, it's a very unfortunate accident that happened, and really to claim the child's life. In terms of the directives from the president, because we've been also talking with the presidency, we will be able to provide an audit of, because there are two programs in the department. There's a program for schools which don't have sanitation, because we had schools which had no sanitation, where kids had to go and help themselves in the field. And we've been dealing with that under ASIDI and with the partners in ASIDI. The one that he's raising is a fresh one for, because there is the provincial competency. So the one who provides infrastructure and maintains schools. But provinces also, I'm reliably told by it, we should be able, we will be able to give an audit within less than 3 months. That we'll be able to do. We are meeting MECs on Thursday again to put together and just agree on how we collect the information and submit it to the president. That's the easiest part of it all, because provinces know where, how many toilets they have, what sanitation, just ready to compile the information that is in provinces, but it's not information that resides with us. It's information that we'll have to audit on the basis of the reports that they submit to us. The next stage will be having picked up, for instance, Eastern Cape doesn't have the budget for infrastructure. They don't budget for infrastructure. They rely on what we give them as an equitable share. So the next stage is to decide with the president and treasurer how to deal with that audit. Because we don't keep money for provincial infrastructure. I know for a fact that provinces are stretched. But it's to really work out after giving them an audit to say, then what do we do? So it will depend on the report, the costing, and as I said, the report we can get in less than 3 months. But the next stage is going to be the implementation to say, how do we implement it? Are we using the ASIDI model where we are mandated as national department to work with provinces to deal with the problem, or whatever the decision cabinet agrees on? So the implementation is going to depend on the cabinet, because it's not within our powers and within our resources to do that work. But as I say, the report will, and cabinet will guide us as to how we approach. And we will, just to repeat, Chair, we are meeting MECs on Thursday, and we will be able to finish the president the report in less than 3 months, because that information is there. The question is where the resources are going to come and where the authority is going to be located. Are we going to be asked to? Do we have the capacity? Are we going to create capacity? Is it going to be given to public works? I really don't know what's going to be the response of cabinet after we give them the report.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and esteemed members. Chair, I'm just going to embellish or just add to or augment on the issues raised by the Minister. I think she's dealt with them very, very clearly. The first is with regard to the issue of Lurids itself. I think we can really be very proud of the fact that we have more than 90% of our learners with their details and identity numbers and full names loaded onto our system. But not only has it been loaded, it has been verified with the Department of Home Affairs. So we have a reliable and credible database of learners. And that's important because, quite interestingly, for the first time last year, Treasury utilized that database in the allocation of resources to provinces, because it regarded that as the most reliable instrument. Now, we are on the cusp of moving to the second phase where it would be web-based live. That means that your data you could access the data at any point in time, and you could do much with the Lurids, because the Lurids would basically then sit on the SACM's platform. So we have a common platform that is being used. The Lurids would then be an advanced live web-based program which would enable us to do many things other than just the issue of capturing the data. We would be able to monitor health. We would be able to monitor curriculum coverage. We would be able to monitor absenteeism. We would be able to utilize that platform to determine which of our learners reside more than 5 kilometers from school, so that we have a credible and reliable database by which we could make empirically based decisions in regard to that. So we're quite excited about it. Just yesterday, for example, we were in conversation with the department in relation to how to accelerate the steps to achieving that. The Dell Foundation, Susan and Michael Dell Foundation, has been very, very helpful. The National Education Collaboration Trust is willing to support us in taking the matter to the next phase, and we look forward to it. Now, there's the element in relation to Lurids which deals with the issues, you know, because Lurids is linked to identity numbers. The reality is that where there are learners who don't have identity documents or valid documents, so when a learner registers at school, he or she must produce an identity document or a birth certificate or a passport or a visa. Those are the requirements. In other words, you're not excluded because you don't have an identity document. You must have a legal and legitimate document. And the issue is, and there has been an application that has been made, and I'm not going to go into great detail other than to say that the view of the applicants in this matter who indicate that they're acting in the public interest is that irrespective of whether a child has an identity document or a valid visa or a valid passport, the school authority should not refuse or decline admission. The effect of that would simply mean that any parent from anywhere could dump a child in a school and say, well, this child has a right to basic education, please admit and enroll her. And I mean, that is absurd. What the schools have been doing as a norm is basically registering those children and saying, we give you a period of 90 days, in some instances 180 days, to correct your matter. And where there are difficulties, Home Affairs has indeed gone to the school to assist communities in doing so. Now, the argument that they've made in some of the applicants and the affidavits is that parent is too busy to basically go and do this. So why should you victimize a child? Or parent is living elsewhere. And you know, that is absurd, because I do believe we have responsibilities, and our constitution is very, very clear. The right to domicile, the right to stay, to enter and leave the republic, is a right to a citizen, not to a right to everybody. In other words, non-citizens are regulated by law, and we basically have to look at this matter. So in the application, we are joined by the Department of Home Affairs, and ours is not a view of really closing our doors of learning, but merely saying that we want to regulate the environment in a way that we manage it, that those who legitimately are entitled to be at our schools should indeed be in our schools. So that's the one element. The second element is, and as a result of what the minister has correctly pointed out, that the interventions in terms of infrastructure, including water and sanitation, is something that we were seized with long before this unfortunate incident. It's a very, very unfortunate incident had taken place. As we speak right now, Chair, we receive on a weekly basis a report from the implementing agents regarding progress in terms of water, sanitation, and electricity. You will have noticed from the presentation that has been made that we've almost technically, we've overcome the challenge of electrification in our schools. Now, that has wonderful benefits for us, because we are in the fourth industrial revolution. ICT is going to be a phenomenon in all our schools. Now, can you imagine a school without electricity and you have all the equipment and devices and the applications? And that's a comforting thing. But water and sanitation goes to the heart of the dignity of a learner. You can't have a school without water and sanitation. And therefore, the minister has consistently in each and every Council of Education Ministers meeting raised this particular issue to say, you know, you have to prioritize this issue, because there's no defense for it. You know, it's just fundamental to the rights of a learner, and you've got to pay particular attention. What we've done in the RCD program is we actually convinced Treasury to allow us to utilize resources to provide for water and sanitation where there is none. And in fact, if you look at the RCD schools, there's more than 140 to 50 RCD schools that have been built. Not only do we build sanitation for the school, but we build the dedicated sanitation for grade R learners. So if you visited any of these city schools, you would have noticed that the toilets for grade R learners are very different from the toilets for the older children. The challenge that we now face, basically, is not about the city schools and the new schools. It's how do you correct, and this is what the minister says, how do you correct it? Now, there's an anomaly here, and we've dealt with it last week when we were with your committee. And the anomaly is this. You have one source of funding is the RCD program, but that is to replace mud schools and provide for water and sanitation and electricity where it does not exist. The second source of funding, and then the more important source of funding, is the equitable share, where provinces are provided with resources in order to do that in terms of infrastructure. And included in that equitable share is an allocation, a dedicated allocation for maintenance. Now, the province have the responsibility of ensuring that, but there are some provinces who are recalcitrant. They do not utilize the equitable share, but rely on the national department in terms of its projects on infrastructure. And that was not the intention at all. This was really not a core function of the national department, but merely to assist in the elimination and eradication of mud and unsafe schools. So it's a matter we have to deal with very, very seriously, and for this reason, the minister says we have to basically urgently look at this matter, and the minister has convened a meeting. The third point that we want to speak to and draw your attention to is the issue of ICT, which has been raised. Now, we can take comfort in the fact that approximately 60% of our textbooks have been digitized and are intellectually owned. The minister and the deputy minister are working extremely hard to achieve something that will be quite unique, which we can celebrate, to have a digitized textbook for every grade in every subject. As we speak to you right now, Chair, grades 4, 5, and 6, Maths, Science, and Technology has been digitized. Senior phase has been digitized, Maths, Science, and Technology. Grades 10, 11, and 12, Maths, Science, and Technology have been digitized because we prioritize that. And we are working very, very hard at the remaining textbooks, which we will own intellectually, which we can modify, amend, change year after year, and basically infuse in it the interactive content, the audiovisual support, and make it very, very exciting. What that is going to do is going to allow the country, all its people, to have access to core educational material in the public interest. It would also translate into millions, if not billions, of rands of savings. So when the textbook is replaced with a tablet and an ICT, that learner, in fact, that phenomenon exists right now, as we speak, in almost 50% of our schools, can go with just a small server that costs about 2,000 rands. You could download all the textbooks, all the exemplars, and all the past papers in an entire school. So all you need is a tablet, and that's free of charge. And that is going to be, that is the fourth industrial revolution, and that's where we are working extremely hard. Now, the challenge that we face in terms of ICT is less about our ability to develop applications or even to provide devices, which I think can be provided for within the context of the savings that we incur. It is about getting fiber to our schools, to get that connectivity out there to ensure that happens. Now there, the department has to rely on its sister departments, and for that reason, the minister had initiated, having approached the presidency, a task team, and the deputy minister, as well as the former minister in the deputy minister in the presidency, are co-conveners of that task team, where higher education and training, basic education, communications,
telecommunications,
science and technology, and health, with the presidency, sit together to find an integrated solution to accelerate that delivery. So we thought we'd just add that to it, but really to thank the portfolio committee, and we do understand Today is a very, very difficult day, but we are also heartened by the fact that whilst we have challenges, these challenges we are addressing, and the evidence is there in the report. But lastly, Chair, and this is a very important area, because the Minister takes this very, very seriously. You know, it's part of our humanity. We have resources allocated for people with severe intellectual disabilities. But it means that the person, so assuming you have an occupational therapist who assists in that particular area, that occupational therapist, even if he or he is qualified, must be skilled in neurological and sensory disorders. So it's just not an ordinary, because you're talking about severe intellectual disability. And now, on the basis of contracts, those people are such a scarce resource and skill. To get a person on contract is not always going to work, because people want stability and permanency. So to retain those skills within the department, it would mean having them permanently appointed. And the department is seriously looking at that. But I agree with the Minister, provinces would have to work extremely hard to ensure that we address this matter urgently. And I do believe the next two quarters would give you a better indication of how we've improved. I don't want to go into the detail, but in your next quarter you will already see a marked improvement from where we were to where we are going to. But thank you very much for your attention, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I thank you, Minister and the Deputy Minister and the Department, can I check if we have follow-up questions or comments from the member?
There are two of us.
Okay. I was
waiting for the DG, because there are questions that are not touched, of which I think the DG will touch them. Then we can have the follow-up.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Chair.
The machine.
I'm not sure, Chair, to say Honorable Members or Honorable Member. Let me also thank the Minister and the Deputy Minister. They've quite covered quite substantially, but also to thank the committee for their positive feedback about the improvement that they see. And I think credit goes to the leadership of the two ministers and the oversight work that you do, and of course the hard work of the team. Chair, regarding early grade reading, maybe Dr. Maboya could add one or two things. But what I want to say is that it's a very important pilot which started in the Northwest, but very expensive to implement. And that's why we're confining it to few provinces. The intention is that we're preparing the system for implementation. And once money has been secured, I'm not aware of any money that has been secured already to roll it out to the remaining provinces. But it is extremely useful. It has surfaced very interesting lessons of the extent to which the involvement of parents using mother tongue can improve the learning outcomes of the learners. Extremely, extremely important. So Dr. Maboya could add one or two contributions there. And then regarding conditional grants, well, maybe just to indicate, the Minister has already indicated the disappointment of the two ministers, particularly around the conditional grant for learners who are profoundly and severely intellectually disabled. But the major issue there revolves around the nature of the employment. The Minister and the Deputy Minister have already covered the nature of the specialities that are involved, or expertise that are involved in terms of the people who are to be recruited to form part of that multidisciplinary team. But the other issue relates to the nature of the employment. As the report indicated, it's not easy to get people for a fixed term contract employment, and it's for that reason that the team has recommended to provinces to consider using equitable share. And we all know that provinces are faced with immense challenges around their salary bills. Budgets are cut every year, and of course the major cut is around the salary bill. And therefore we think that if the nature of the employment is going to change, it would help, you know, to get people recruited, and the bulk of the expenditure would flow from the activities of the team once the team is put in place by way of appointing those experts. It's for that reason that the expenditure is low. And I must admit, some of these things were not anticipated, given the fact that the skills that are required, you are not the core line function. I think on hindsight, we should have probably worked much more closely with the Department of Social Development and Health to advise us accordingly. We thought that some of these expertise are readily available, social workers and so on, but the practice has proven us wrong, that even if they are available, people are saying, if you don't take us permanent, you are not even prepared to take a fixed term contract. Around Lurits, the Deputy Minister has extensively explained, but the issue is around the credibility of data. And the rejection of learners is a safety measure. As the Deputy Minister said, Treasury is now going to be using our Lurits data to determine funding for the sector. And it is therefore important that whatever data is accommodated in Lurits is credible. And therefore, the rejection was based on the fact that the data that was uploaded from SASEMS required provinces also to look at their data warehousing to make sure that that data is credible. And what DBE is doing is now auditing that data before it's uploaded, and that's why it's rejected, because of credibility. And we are of the view that in the fourth quarterly report, we will definitely report something else rather than just the rejection of data, because the audit is taking place at DBE level. Both the Minister and the Deputy Minister responded quite adequately to the issue of the illegal, undocumented learners in the system. And then the a clean audit for SAPS, it's around minimum information security systems in the department. These are annual audits that are done, whether your security systems are complying, you know, your document management complies with your MIS policy and so on, and it's done by SAPS. And that's the audit that you are referring to in there. About inclusive education, Honorable Basson, we can only commit to improve, to putting more information about inclusive education. I'm woefully aware of lots of activities that are taking place in the department and the sector around learners with special education needs, but activities of inclusive education broadly, because they don't necessarily focus on learners with special education needs. Even learners in the mainstream do receive services of inclusive education. In fact, the bulk of the learners are in the mainstream, so-called mainstream. And then Honorable Khoza, I think you are absolutely right that there are still challenges around infrastructure. But just to respectfully remind members of the committee that we did report that in certain instances we had to take projects from one implementing agent and reallocate them to the other. For instance, we took a number of infrastructure projects from IDP, and we had to reallocate them to other implementing agents like DBSA, like Mvula Trust and Kuga. That caused delays, delays because you had legal issues that had to be cleared before the projects were eventually seeded over. And you also had something called, I've forgotten what it's called, session agreement. Yeah, session agreement that is entered into by the releasing implementing agent to the new receiving implementing agent. And that had its own life, you know, close to about, you know, 12 months or so, which was wasted. And the last point that I want to raise, I think both ministers would be aware of it. On some projects, we were taken to court by some implementing agents. And that also created further delays because of, you know, the court case that we waited, court cases that we waited to be finalized before, you know, you continue with those projects. And then measures that we have taken to make sure that we increase or improve our performance in the fourth quarter, we've put remedial measures in place in each of those areas where we have not performed well, and that is part of the report that has been shared with the committee. Our view is that some of those measures have started to yield results already. Let me give an example. By the end of the third quarter, in terms of the education infrastructure grant, Gauteng and Mpumalanga were at 64%. The latest report that we have received is that they've now improved to 80%. And we are now confident, as they follow the plans that they've put in place, that 100% expenditure should realize in those two. And then just to add the last point around infrastructure conditional grants vis-a-vis equitable share. Just to add to what the two ministers said, to date there are only three provinces out of nine provinces that are providing for infrastructure and the equitable share. And of the three provinces, none allocates more than 30% of what the two grants are providing for school infrastructure. And I'm sure it should be extremely unfortunate, as the two ministers correctly indicated, the two grants were meant to augment and supplement equitable share allocation. But if only three provinces are still allocating for equitable share and allocating less than 30% of what comes from ASIDI and the EIG, it should be a cause for concern for this committee. Thank you, Chair. I'm sure, I'm not sure whether Chair will allow Dr. Mabuya just to add on.
Yes, it's
okay.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to add on the issue of the MST conditional grant to say that we have noticed indeed, Minister, that we haven't been able to hold provinces accountable sufficiently with regard to this grant. So as a result, we have developed a framework for standards with regard to the grant itself, which was the framework was approved by CEM this year. So we will be implementing this framework to ensure that provinces do indeed account in terms of the expenditure on the ground, but not only expenditure, but also in terms of the grant output. The grant output, as well as performance in mathematics, science and technology subjects, and participation in these subjects.
So that's what I wanted to raise, DG, with regard to MST, the MST grant, to say there are measures in place to ensure that we will be facilitating expenditure, amongst other things. But also to say that National Treasury is busy now putting together a tender, a transversal tender, with regard to your workshop equipment as well as your laboratory equipment and machinery for the workshops as well. So we are hoping that provinces will be able to spend better now that they would no longer have issues around procurement, because procurement was an issue. That's why they would mostly resort to just going for your ICT equipment, because they are easy to buy. Then with regard to LSPID, that is the grant for your the disability grant that we spoke about, I think DG has sufficiently covered us in that respect, because indeed the allocation for HR only is close to 56%. So it shows that if we are really not moving in terms of recruitment, then that becomes a problem. But we have provided support to provinces in terms of making sure that we advertise for those posts. In some instances, we even had to do the actual, even the capturing, the receiving of applications and so on. But the one that I also wanted to refer to is the difficulty with regard to the recruitment of these specialized people. For instance, in the Northern Cape, which is far behind relative to other provinces, they have not recruited at all. So as it is, we had to intervene by way of helping them to headhunt these experts that we are looking for. So we were able to get about 15 applicants, and currently the Northern Cape is running the interview. So we are hoping that they will be able to get the right people. I must indicate that initially they had been able to recruit three such specialists, but when the specialists realized that these posts are not permanent posts, then they withdrew the offer, and that's how they ended up not having recruited anything. That's all what I wanted to add, DG, to what you have said. But I don't know if Carol would like to say something about the early grade study, really.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. So the early grade reading study, we are hoping to, as DG had mentioned, it is a study to support, if you like, all the curriculum and teacher development inputs in the sector. And we're hoping to use some of the methodology that we've developed for Setswana in other African languages, just to make sure that we can develop oral reading norms, oral reading fluency norms, as well as a sense of what type of infrastructure that we need to develop languages in the sector, but also in the broader, in how that then plays itself out in the broader society. So we're using it as a way, if you like, a petri dish of how to do this in a systemic and institutionalized way in the sector.
Thank you for the responses. Honorable Wilson, do you have thank you so much.
Okay.
I just want to thank maybe the minister for saying to us, we did not know that because we never went to Eastern Cape, that the school has sufficient toilets, good toilets. I think that is good information to the public, to for them to know that there are toilets. But what we want to request the department is that with us also, when we go to oversight, where we are building new toilets, some other schools, they don't demolish the old ones. We just request that those old ones need to be demolished.
I remember in January when we were in school.
We visited one school. There are nice toilets, but those old ones are still there. I was checking the cleanliness of toilets. And when I went there, they said to me, those are no longer working, Mr. Kos. But I said, why are they still there? Because, you know, kids will just go there. Yeah. Children are just children. They will just go there. Yeah. Yeah. And more especially, yeah, as you are saying, Honorable, that the young ones, they can just go there. So we need to maybe assist provinces and schools to ensure that immediately we complete the project of the new toilets, we demolish those old ones. I also wanted to talk to this one, Minister, that it is not a question, it was not part of the report, that there was an incident that happened in Toyando where a child was choked by electricity. You know, we sometimes experience issues of izinyoka and the like. We also request that maybe as department, let us be proactive to check to see that those issues are our responsibilities, even those that are happening in provinces. We need to assist and ensure that. I'm told that it is receiving as necessary attention, but it is very important for all the provinces to be appraised on these issues, that it does not happen in future. We can be able to avoid a lot of incidences regarding these issues. Other than that, we don't have any other questions to you. We are happy with the responses that we have, and we are thanking very much the department and the minister, with the deputy minister, for sharing with us today. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Sir, with your permission, I don't want to come after spoken. I don't want to be cited for saying pit toilets, because I think pit latrines are just a no-no. So I don't know, because we're still using pit latrines. I don't want to say we have good toilets, but we're saying there are other facilities. The school infrastructure of the school is also not your old mark Eastern Cape school. But after all is said and done, the school could have done better, because it's their duty to make sure that children are safe, like the electrocuted. The school, we have clear guidelines on how to make the school environment safe. But again, our schools don't follow those guidelines properly, and therefore even our circuits don't go and monitor that the safety guidelines are followed to the latter. Because that one was, as I said, I don't want to already put the department into trouble, but it was a freak accident more than anything.
There were toilets that are lying only there, covering and what and what. Do you mean that in the situation of those that just said the dilapidated toilets that are unused? And can't we get an idea on how, because with these toilets, it's not an overnight thing that we can get rid of. They are there, as long as there's no water that is going to the rural areas, and it's difficult to have decent food. Flush toilets. Can't we get people who can just design the toilet for us in a way that, you know, this was traumatizing for us, I think, thinking about that 5-year-old swimming in the toilet. I have a picture. I had a schoolmate when I was still young in this house where we were housed at the school. Yeah, he spent on this and this, and in that classroom, while we were writing on the blackboard, you see, those easels, you know, the easels, blackboard, blackboard on the easel, what we were chasing around each other, not knowing that the toilet is already underneath
the floor.
But so the floor, because we were standing and doing this, and the boy sank, and then when he sank in this toilet, but it was easy for me. I have a picture when they pulled him out, he looked at with all those worms around there everywhere, because he was at least taller. Now when I was thinking about free designing, just the hole to be
smaller.
Yeah, to be smaller down leading to the hole, but leading to the bigger hole, just on top to make it that the top to be on, so that the child cannot be able to get through that room and so on. Just to people who can, people are not technologically wise, to redesign something, because this toilet room is there. It's also, I have found a bit of my own rural area when I go home. These toilets are there. So about just the design of the port.
Now you'll be very amazed, members. With the city schools, there's lots of good technology that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
They are there, those toilets, those long drops are very hard, very thin. The holes, you can't, nothing except for human waste can go down, nothing can even go down.
Mm-hmm.
So they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is nice, also the state has an idea, and that's what we're hoping to do, that we'll have to get science and technology, they also have an IT of your high-tech sanitation. We use in Vula Trust. So the main thing is not going to be technology, there it's available. It's going to be the resources and the locus of authority after we give a report. But those toilets are very, very safe and clean. And they are really high design. The way it gets, the chemicals are used, the way it gets disappear in the process, and use differently. There's an opera school shed built at similar times. There also is high tech of, even if there's no bulk service, but the recyclable water which you can't use for other things, you can recycle for 4 years. So there's high tech, there's lots of technology that has come into the sanitation field. So it's not for lack of technology, but it's going to be resources and authority that is going to challenge.
Thank you very much. All these meetings can be officially open. Thank you very much.
Dedication was too good to be made.
I don't know. Are we missing?